I'm impressed to remind you to be believing for Sunday. Somebody say believing for Sunday. See, I showed it to you before in Ephesians. The Bible says that we grow by each part doing its share. So part of your share is bringing your trust. How many know we can't please God without faith? I mean, the Bible doesn't say it's hard to please God without faith. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. Does that make sense? So you're responsible for not only coming Sunday, but you're responsible for believing, bringing your attitude of, man, the church is going to grow and grow and grow and grow until every seat is full. Amen. Does that make sense? So you're not just coming. Your call is not just to come and receive. Your call is to come and be part. You know what it's like? It's like when I was a kid, we had these things called potlucks. You know what a potluck is? And everybody brings their something. I hated potlucks because these crazy ladies would bring these casseroles with onions in their casseroles. And first of all, what in the world is that? You know what I mean? What am I eating? Okay, now I love casseroles. But you know, when you're eight, you don't look at some kind of bean casserole and get excited of that, right? Amen. You can say amen to this. Come on. I used to pray, God, please somebody bring Kentucky Fried Chicken. Amen. No, I'm as serious as I could be. And I remember coming in thinking, being in the line and seeing that bucket of chicken, thinking, man, I'm too far back. You know what I mean? I remember calculating this out. Anyway, we've got to change our mentality in the church. You know, how many know? The Bible says in the end days, men will become lovers of self, rather lovers of God. I don't know what year it was. Somebody could look it up. But you know, remember when Kennedy was running for president? 1960. And he said something that will never be said by any politician nowadays. Do you know what he said? He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. How many know that's a slogan that would not be used by any politicians now? You know what? It's like they're all outdoing themselves to tell you what they can give you. Amen? How many know somebody got to pay for that? Come on, you can say amen to this. You're like, oh, I should say amen to that. All I'm saying is I love what Kennedy said. Because Kennedy had a mentality, an old school mentality of, hey, wait a minute, if we're going to be a good country, let's talk about what we can bring to the table. That kind of mentality has got to be brought back into the church. Paul says it like this. He says, how come it is that when you come, each one of you doesn't come with something to give? He doesn't understand that. Because he understands that the church, listen, if you are a taker and 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 a taker, you're going to have an awful life. Because if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Jesus said this, if you give your life, you're going to find your life. When I look at the most fulfilled people that I talk to, you know what they all have one thing in common? They are people who are looking to serve where they can serve. Those people are fulfilled. So I want to encourage us as a church to be a different kind of church, to be a New Testament church where they were looking. And should we receive a church? Absolutely. I hope that every service, every single time you come in, you say, oh my goodness, Pastor, I received so much from the worship today. I received so much from the message today. I want you. This place needs to be a place. It is a place where I want you to come. Matter of fact, every single service, I want you to leave with just your hearts filled with hope and filled with optimism that your days in front of you are going to be better than your days behind you. Amen. I don't care how old you are. I was speaking about Kentucky Fried Chicken. That guy wasn't a success till he was in his 60s, late 60s. Amen. So don't think that, you know what, I don't care what your age is, you know, God has got something planned for you. Yes. But come in, be part of what God is doing in this place. Be part of the solution. Be part of the, hey, we're here together. Yes. And we're going to serve each other together. Amen? Amen? How many know if we're going to minister to hundreds, watch this, this is good. How many of you ever said with me, hundreds and thousands? How many of you said that with me? Raise your hand real high if you said that with me. Hundreds and thousands. Okay, well then guess what? How many know we need hundreds of people to minister to thousands? Oh, that's good. I don't need 10 people to minister. 10 people, I can minister to hundreds. But I need hundreds to minister to thousands. And that's what you're called to here to do, to minister, to be part of the solution. Amen. 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 All right, so what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Hope, yeah, that's right. What are we talking about? What? Feelings. That's what we're talking about Sunday. We're talking about Sunday. What are we talking about on Wednesday? Can I give you God's word? What? Yeah, say God's word. My power. God's word, my power. I said this before. I don't say this. I'm not trying to advertise for them. They need to say, hey, we'll give you some rental cars if you advertise for me. It's not my point. But my point is to know, I just really appreciate Enterprise. I think, gosh, by the time we were done, I think they gave us like over 13, maybe 14 vehicles. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. All those vehicles, drive up, park them. Don't have to come back. Just drive up, park them. When we're done, we're driving them all back. Such a blessing. Amen. Before, we used to have to ask all kind of people, can you drive up? And we'd have to drive up and drive back. And then in 4 days, they'd have to drive back up there and drive back. They're just such a blessing. I'm just so glad that we have companies who are willing to reach out to their communities and give. You know what I mean? And particularly companies that give to churches. Do you know, I don't know if you know this, there's communities that are mad at Chick-fil-A and are restricting Chick-fil-A or are penalizing Chick-fil-A, not letting them into their communities, trying to restrict them. Do you know why? Because they're closed on Sunday? No, that's not why. That's praise the Lord. By the way, did I tell you this Sunday? This is a true story. This Sunday, I will buy all you can eat Chick-fil-A to anybody. I didn't say McDonald's. I said this Sunday, as much as you want, all you can eat Chick-fil-A, all on me. That's just how I am. I'm a nice guy. No, that's not why. Because that company gives to Christian organizations, and there are some city councils, and they don't like that. Come on. I thank God that Enterprise, See, what do we do? Listen to me. This is really important that you guys understand this, because we're a nation that if we don't pay attention to this, you know what? Where are we going? What happens if we get politically so correct that enterprise feels restricted to give to any, to donate any of their cars, watch this, to a church that is going to talk about Jesus? And what happens? See, listen, our church is moved forward because, how many know penny saved is a penny earned? Our church is moved forward because Enterprise said yes to us. Amen. So, and you've got to stand up and recognize what these cities are doing, many of them in California. So Pastor, are you getting political? I'm just saying, all I'm saying is thank you, Enterprise. That's what I'm saying. Can we be grateful for Enterprise? I am. Amen. And I'm so grateful that they're not like, ooh, we can't, well, we'd like to, but we can't because you talk about Jesus. And then they'll, you know what I mean? Oh, listen, be careful when we have a country where you can only think one way. When the government starts telling you how to think, what you can say and what you cannot say. Amen. How many know this? How many know the government at the time was responsible for putting Jesus on a cross? Let me tell about Jesus. Jesus didn't say, oh, there's a lot of different ways, and who am I to say, you know what, how you should get to heaven? I mean, no, Jesus didn't say that. Right. He said, let me tell you what, there's a way to get to heaven, and it's really very narrow. And you could call me narrow-minded all you want. I love Jesus because Jesus spoke the truth, but he'd speak the truth, but he loved everyone. That's what kind of church I want to be. I want to be a church where anyone comes in, we say, man, we're so glad you're here. But I don't want to be a church that says, you know what? And I want a church that says, everyone is welcome. But there is one truth. And we're not going to change our mind what that is. How many know Jesus isn't changing his mind? Amen. All right, so let's jump off here. Can we jump off here? I said jump off. Romans, one of my favorite passages. Romans chapter 3, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Oh, that's a good place. What if some didn't believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? That's a great question, is it not? Guys, go to 3. Will their unbelief make the faithfulness, say faithful, of God without effect? Will their unbelief cause God's word not to work? No. No, it won't. God's word will work for anyone who will believe it. There it is. Amen. Now watch this. How many know we've got to let the word tell us what is truth? Because we think the word of God works no matter. Be careful. Somebody about to say amen. And you're going to amen in the wrong place. And you're going to bust your ignorance. Just be careful. People think that God's word works to anyone. Not true. How many know Watch this. How many know Jesus Christ died for everyone? He died for who? The whole world. Amen. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are what? Precious in his sight. Die for everybody. So how come there's people who are not going to make it to heaven? Because the word only has effect in your life. Remember the centurion? He said this, Jesus said this, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Are you learning something? Let me see. Look, guys in the back, go ahead, turn over to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10, and let's start with, let's start at 6. Go to 5. I mean, no, it's hard to not keep on going up. Okay. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. Watch this. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. I'm gonna spend a whole Sunday talking about, let me just tell you, this frequency series is going to be, and it is going to be so rich. But I'm gonna spend a whole Sunday just talking about how important it is to get this tongue in line. And how your tongue can just put you out of the frequency of God so quick. And it can line you up to the frequency of God. I just see this passage and I think, ooh, I'm gonna write this down in 2 weeks. Because this is so good. How many know the Word of God always ties together? Watch this. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Now, what's he saying? The righteousness that is based on trusting God, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, in your thinking, in your heart, the center of who you are, you're thinking, God's going to do it all. That's not, let me help you out. Who raised Lazarus? I do this all the time. Who raised Lazarus from the dead? Jesus. Who rolled away the stone? The people. Jesus asked them. Who fed the 5,000? Who lifted up the bread and fish and prayed that God would bless us? Jesus. Okay. Who passed out the bread and the fish? Did Jesus pass out the bread and the fish? He passed it out to the disciples and they passed it out. Okay. Watch this. Ephesians, the fivefold ministry, pastor, prophet, teacher, all that, evangelists, are called to equip the saints. Can you help me out here? Do you know what for? For the work of the ministry. See, God is insistent over and over and over again. He's insistent that we have ministry partnership together. That so the righteousness of faith doesn't say in your heart, watch this, I'll help you. God's going to do it. Now, we understand that God initiates things. We understand it's through his power and his authority, right? We understand that. But God has assigned us a responsibility to have an effective ministry to this community. Can I tell you where the sweet spot is? Can I tell you where the sweet spot is? In the Bible, there's this word. It's called oikos. And what oikos is, let me tell you what oikos is. Oikos is, who cuts your hair? Does your wife cut your hair? Do you go to some barber somewhere or somebody? Okay. That's your oikos, right? Do you have your son? Your oikos. Your grandkids? Your oikos. Okay. Maybe if you go to the bank and you see a certain teller that when they see you, they say, you know what, hi, Mr. West, or hi, Mrs. West. You know what I mean? Hi, Mr. West. Okay. That's your oikos. Your and but particularly your kids and your grandkids. Okay. Totally your sweet spot. If you would just minister to your 9 to 15 and you would just be focused on your 9 to 15. I'm not saying, you know, you're mailman. I'm not saying that you can't minister to more people. I'll pass out a card to anyone. You know what I mean? I mean, I have them, you know what, accessible. You know what? Because we know that God can use all kinds of, you know what? We've had all kinds of people just come by because we have signs, not because we have a relationship with them. But what I'm saying is you have this circle of influence that you're called to really, if you told them, wow, this is a good movie, they'll go to that movie.
That's right.
If you tell them, man, if they see your life and they see your life changing and they see that you're a sincere, kind, whatever it is, and you can get them to church. Yes. Okay. So the righteousness of faith speaks a certain way because it's coming out of your heart. From your heart, the mouth speaks. And we have taught for such a long time that God does everything, and we're called to just kind of sit there. Listen, how many know everything can be out of balance? And what we tend to go is from this balance all the way over to this balance. You know what I mean? It's like out of balance. So how many know God is all powerful? Come on, how many know God is all powerful? How many ever heard the sovereignty of God before? You know, ever heard God is sovereign? Okay. Can I push you out of your comfort zone a little bit? Was it God's will that the first generation Israelites go into the promised land? Yes or no? How many think yes? How many think yes? Okay, how many think no? Okay, how many didn't vote? Okay, I'll tell you the answer, you know what, according to the word. Of course God wanted them to go into the promised land. Of course. That's a no-brainer. Everybody say, of course. Of course. He loved them. He instructed them to go into the land flowing with milk and honey. Did he not tell them to go into the land? Why did he tell them to go into the land of milk and honey? This is deep. Because he wanted them to go in the land of milk and honey. He wanted them to be blessed. Amen. Are you learning something? So here's the million-dollar question. Did they go in the land flowing with milk and honey?
No.
Come on, theologians. Did they go in the land of milk and honey?
No.
They didn't go. They died in the desert. Okay. Except for two guys. Do you know who the two guys did?
Mr. C and Mr. J.
Caleb. Mr. C and Mr. J. Caleb and Joshua. Okay. Not coincidentally.
Oh, come on.
Listen. Not eeny, meeny, miny Caleb. Eeny, meeny, miny Joshua. You guys just got lucky. You guys get to go in. And all these other... No. So watch this. If God wanted them to go in and they didn't go in, you know what? Well, I thought God was all-powerful. He's all-powerful. Let me tell you what. God says, here's what I want. I could do it any way I want to do it. And here's what I want to do it. I want to do it with you.
Amen.
Amen. See, I agree. God is all powerful. But I got too many passages I got too many examples in the New and Old Testament of here. Can I give you another one?
Yes.
See, be careful you don't just listen to somebody without qualifying it to passages in the Word. Jesus' hometown. Answer me this. Did Jesus come? Wow, we're asking a lot of good questions today. Did Jesus ever come to somebody and say, you know, I tell you what, I know you got that hip issue, and I know you want me to heal you, but let me just tell you, that ain't not God's will. God's will is that you keep that sickness and disease. Now see, now we're bucking up to some good theology here. And you've heard from your friends and your neighbors and all kinds of Christian people, and they're going to tell you that, you know what, well, I guess it's just not God's will to heal me. I'm just asking. Thank you. Amen. Good for you. But here's what I'm saying. But do you ever see that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John?
No.
So how come Jesus didn't heal people in his hometown? Bible says he couldn't. Is Jesus God?
Oh, yes, he is.
Is Jesus God?
Yes, he is.
Is he all powerful?
Yes.
Is he sovereign? Then
tell me
why those people didn't get healed. Are you learning something today? See, watch this. The Word of God all goes together. Amen. Watch this. In your heart, you know what? It doesn't say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. What's that saying? God, you do it. You do it. Bible said, That's not how the righteousness of faith speaks. Next verse. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring up Christ from the dead. I don't care where you got to come from the dead, from heaven. Christ comes somewhere, but you got to do something.
That's right. Come on.
Doesn't speak that way. Well, how does it speak? If we know how it doesn't speak, how does it speak? I love the Word of God because the Word of God is so instructive.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
How does it speak? Look at the next verse. But what does it say? The Word is near. What's that next word there? Oh, man. Somebody say, the Word of God is near me.
Oh, the Word of God is near you.
How many know how to get a hold of 5 Bibles in at least a 1 mile radius of your house? Raise your hand if you can get 5 Bibles. Let me tell you what, the Word of God is near you. Amen. Watch this. is near you. Look where it is. Watch this. How many know for some of you, listen to me, for most of you, this isn't how near it is. Right? Here one. Now, listen, you look at your neighbor and say, this is a training center. How many know you're not going to forget this illustration? Watch this. Now, for some of you, you don't know. Listen, you don't know the whole word. It's not. You don't know the whole. But there are huge passages, portions of Scripture that aren't just your Bible. They are in your heart. Amen. How many know that's true? It's closer than just here. It's been put in your heart. Watch this. It's near you. It's in your mouth, and it's in your heart. Here, can I prove it to you?
Yeah.
Help me out. I'll start it, and you'll finish it. Faith, don't finish it for me until I stop, and then you can finish. Faith comes through
hearing.
And hearing. By the word of God. Okay, good. Greater is
he
that is
in
than
he.
Who is? If God be who against
us,
for we walk the just shall by not faith, their faith. Somebody say their faith. Just a little. Man, you guys know some word, don't you? Why? Because, and how many know some of these passages, they're not just in your mouth. They're in your heart. That's what's going on. See, and the faith speaks, it's boom, on your mouth. Watch this. The apostles, that John and Peter, they're going to prayer. Remember this? They're going to prayer. And they're going to prayer. And they see this guy, and he says, do you have any money? They're like, oh, man. My wallet's at home. Have you ever gone lost? You left your wallet at home. They didn't say, oh, here's a little bit of money. They're like, you know what? Silver and gold have we. They didn't have nothing. But that which they have, we give you. Now, listen, that's where they were at. They didn't, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that as they would hang out with these guys, as they saw these guys, they recognized that they had been with Jesus. You know what's something that they said about Jesus? Man, he doesn't talk like anybody else talks. Can I talk to you about what the Jewish rabbis believed at that time? So I'm just making this up. But let's say you were a Jewish rabbi, you were a Jewish rabbi, you were Jewish. Oh, you can't be a Jewish rabbi because you're old. This is a side note, but this is really, really important. Oh, you can't be a Jewish rabbi because you're old. Oh, you can't be a Jewish rabbi because you're old. Oh, you can be a rabbi. Okay, you're a rabbi. This is a side note. I mean this on purpose. You know what? I'm so tired of people beating up Christianity like Christianity isn't. Let me tell you, women, the most freeing person on the face of this earth to deliver you from Jesus is the lifter of the downtrodden. I don't care, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, women, you know what, redheaded freckle people. Amen. I'm telling you, you know what? This lie about, you know what, Jesus is the oppressor of women is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Amen.
Amen.
Well, yeah, but what about what Peter said about women and they couldn't speak? Well, you know what? Go to the website and watch my teaching on women in the church.
Nice.
You know what? Because the truth is, Paul shut down all kinds of people down. Paul was dealing with craziness in churches and people, and he would say, listen, you two are the only ones I want speaking. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
And people take it out of context like he was. And here's why. Because why in the world would he say that? And then another passage say, you know what? Say, there's neither slave nor free,
that's right,
Greek nor Jew, male nor female. Why? Because he understood it. But he's going to go into church where there's a bunch of crazy ladies talking about a bunch of crazy theology, and he has no problem saying, hey, ladies, quiet. Amen. He shut down all kind of people. And it wasn't just ladies he shut down. He shut down all kind of people. Side note. But in Jesus' hometown, these people couldn't receive. Here's why. Because they said, this is just Jesus, and he's just a carpenter's son, and we know all about this, and boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
And so he, even though he wanted to do something, he could not do something. Even though he wanted the Israelites to be free and to walk in this promised land flowing with milk and honey, he couldn't. Why? Because they restricted. But the apostles who had been around Jesus, they understood.
That's right. Amen.
No. Jesus told us not to leave Jerusalem, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. So they're walking. They see this guy. They say, silver and gold we don't have, but that which we do have, we give to you.
Yes.
They don't say, oh, dude, if Jesus was here, oh, it'd be so cool because we saw him, Jesus, do all these crazy radical things. Jesus is the man. But we don't really know what we're doing. No, see, the trust in God doesn't speak that way. It doesn't speak that way. It says, no, the word of God. See, heaven and earth can pass away, but the word will never pass away. The power is in, now I'm getting into my sermon 2 weeks. The power is in the word of God. Remember Jesus, he said, that guy said, you don't need to come over to my house.
Oh, there it is. Yes.
Remember this?
Yeah.
He said, just speak a word. Remember Jesus said this? He said, my words are spirit and their life. You want me to unpack that for you?
Yeah.
How many want me to unpack that for you? Okay, you come in 2 weeks and I'm going to unpack that for you. How many knew I was going to say that to you? Did you know it? Here's my point. They said, you know what, we don't have that. But understanding that they had something and that the sovereign God had empowered them to do his work.
Wow.
You know when Jesus said, I'm the light of the world? How many know Jesus said, I'm the light of the world?
Oh, yes, he is.
Watch this. How many know the same Jesus? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Good. The same Jesus said, you know what he said?
What?
He said, you're the light of the world.
Wow.
Now, see, in our religious, how many know there's some churches that I wouldn't be, if I was a guest speaker, I wouldn't be invited back to that church for saying that.
Oh.
How many know this is true? They say, oh, that's false doctrine. Listen, can I tell you something? This is not false doctrine.
That's right.
Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Jesus said, they're going to see your good works and they're going to follow my Father in heaven. You and I, how many know Jesus don't live here no more? Jesus has empowered us through his word. Silver and gold we don't have, but we have his word. Where's his word? His word is right next to me. It's even in my heart, in my mouth, and in my heart. And they spoke God's word over him. They believed. They believed that what Jesus said was true. Remember Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they might recover. If you're just, you know, on a Wednesday, you know what, and got shorts on and, you know what, you know, and it's not raining outside. No, no, no. This is craziness. This is not what God has called us. Look at this next verse. Look at this next verse. Now, we know this verse, right? We quote this verse all the time. This is how we get saved verse. Can I tell you what? This is way more than just how you got saved. This is how we should function as a church, as individuals. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You know what the biggest miracle of all is? When you got born again and all your junk got clean. I mean, God regenerated you.
That's it.
You were dead and now you're not dead anymore. You are a walking zombie. Amen. Is that not right? Listen, that's who you were. You were alive, but you were just. But watch this. You got born again. And how did that happen? It happened because you confessed with your mouth. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying you do this, so don't do that right now. You know what? But I say this every Sunday with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you want to accept Jesus, you know what? I'm going to say a prayer. And let's just do that right now. And I'll tell them to do this, and we'll have people raise their hands every single Sunday. And people will accept Jesus in their heart. Why? Because they've already believed. I preached the word for 45 minutes. Faith comes through hearing. People are outside of the family of God, and they're sitting here, and I don't know who invited them. I don't know why they came. But I know God is using this church to minister to people. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to just ask. Who wants to come to the family of God? And people raise their hands all the time. And then I say, hey, will you just ask Jesus in your heart? Because he'll come in your heart. Well, they're already believing in their heart. What do they got to do now? What do they got to do now? Come on, I'll show you the answers. What do they got to do now? They've got to confess with their what? They got to say something. Amen. God is looking for us to say something. To say what? What he says. Hamilageo. To say, hey, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness. I'm going to believe that. Amen. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe God's real. I'm going to believe Jesus died on the cross. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to say it. Jesus, come in my heart. Jesus, thank you for washing away my sin. And they say it. What happened? What did Peter and John do? They just believed it. Seizing him by the hand. See, I don't know because it doesn't give us that narration, but I believe Peter, as soon as he touched him, I believe he said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I believe that I don't know, you know what I mean? There's a lot of healing scriptures that he could have quoted.
That's right.
But I believe that he was remembering what Jesus had spoken to him. and seizing him. Boom, I got it. And then the Bible says, and he didn't go, hey, dude, how are your ankles feeling now? You know what I mean? Do you feel? He doesn't say that. The Bible says, boom, he seized him by the hand. The King James says, and he lifted him up. Well, how many know? I believe this. I believe why. You know why I believe he lifted him up?
Come on.
Because the word of God was near him, in his heart and in his mouth. That's why when he looked at this guy, he didn't go, oh, dude, hang on a second. My wallet's at home. I know you're hungry. I'll be right back. Because that wasn't what he was thinking. It was the word of God was in his heart, and he thought, you know what, all I got to do, it just came. It wasn't. Do you ever something just was so in your heart and it just came like out? Sometimes this is in the negative. Have you ever just, you know what I mean? And like, and you're like, that was ugly. Can I tell you why you said that? Can I? You ever said, oh, I shouldn't. You ever wanted like to suck it back? You're like, ooh, I want it back. How many of you ever been that way? Come on in the back. How many of you ever been that way? Okay. What happened? Where did it come from? It came from your heart. See, I believe this isn't. How many know this is real time? Talked to a guy this week, and was in the grocery store. I just, you know what? Just talking about nothing. You know what I mean? Talking about potato chips and who, I don't know what it was, whatever. Just stuff that is not important. And we go from talking about potato chips to talking about something that's really important. Pastor, what did you do? You know what I did? I seized him by the hand. Why did you do this? Here's why. Because I believe that. Here's what I believe. I believe the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Right there, Pastor, you did that right there in the grocery store? But yeah, right there in the grocery store. Yeah, but where somebody's looking? Who's got time to figure all this out? I just know this is in real time. Peter and John, they weren't, watch, follow this out. They weren't, let me work this through and then you'll get it. They weren't prepared, but they were prepared. Or say it like this. They weren't scripted, but they were prepared. See, they weren't. Yeah, I remember the Bible says, be ready in season and out of season. You know what that means? It means Sunday. How many know I got to bring it Sunday? How many know if I come up here and say, oh, I don't, you know what? Mary had a little lamb. And her sheep was really white. I don't know if you can get anything out of that, but that's what I got today. How many know that's not okay? How many know that's not okay? How many know I'm going to bring it on Sunday?
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay. How many know when I was in the grocery store, I brought it? Can I tell you why? Because I need to be ready in season and out of season. Because I can't just go, dude, I'm just not on right now. I'm just like thinking about peanut butter and jelly and all kinds of stuff. And I'm just not ready for you, you know what I mean? So I know you're hurting. I know you're messed up. But you know what? I'll come Sunday. How many know? He's probably working Sunday. So what did I do? I seized him by the hand. I not only seized by the hand, but then I went like this. Oh, I said, nice. Father, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, but can I tell you about hurting people? Hurting people could care less that they're in the middle of the grocery store.
That's right. That's right.
I'm telling you. We got to start caring less, you know what, and start reaching people where they're at. Because let me tell you what. Can I tell you what? You're so, Pastor, I'm so glad you did that. Listen, you do that. Because let me tell you what. You're in the grocery store. You're these places. You know what? That's why you came tonight. For you to be empowered and recognize my calling is to equip you for the work of the ministry. Amen. Say it like this. My calling is to equip you to go in the grocery stores and because you got hurting people. What's the difference? Listen, the difference between me and you, there is no difference. I mean, our calling is different. But we're all ministers. How many ever go to the grocery store? Raise your hand and go to the grocery store. How many ever go to the bank? How many think hurting people are in the grocery store? How many think hurting people are in the bank? How many know you could be sitting there getting your hair cut and all of a sudden the person cutting your hair is going to start to minister and not start to share from the heart the mouth speaks? Amen. I didn't know all this was going to come up. I didn't bring it up. I'm telling you what. All of a sudden, it just came out. What did you do? I said, hey, y'all. I seized him by the hand. You know what? I made sure he had my phone number. I figured out a way. You know what? I called my wife. You know, I immediately shared with her what was going on. Why? Because, anyway, I can't go into much detail, but Here's my point. I cared. Amen. I didn't sit there and go, well, I'll tell you what. You know what? I wish God would do something in his life. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus, come. I don't know where you are. You know, you haven't, get down here. You know what I mean? From the abyss, you know what? You're get over there. That guy needs help. Just a question. Who do you think Jesus sent to help him? Who do you think Jesus sent to help him? He sent me. Who do you think Jesus sent to? Who do you think Jesus sent, you know what, to help this guy who was lame? Amen. I love the example of those four guys, and they carried their friend to Jesus. Yeah. And when it was full, they said, "You know, I'll tell you what. When I get to heaven, one of the first things I'm gonna say, Jesus, show me that DVD. I wanna see who, you know what, was the one who said, well, I'll tell you what, you know, I ain't walking back. You know what I mean? We didn't come all the way over here for nothing, man. I'll tell you what we're going to do. You know what I mean? Well, I want to see that. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get up on the roof. Well, yeah, Jackson, what are we going to do up there? You know what I mean? We're going to cut a hole right through that roof. That's what we're going to do. And what you going to do then? We're going to lay them right down. And Jesus is going to be in. And all of a sudden, this guy's going to come down right down in front of them. That's what we're going to do. Right. Man, I tell you what, I want to shake that guy's hand. Amen. See, we don't know. He could have, three of those guys could have said, dude, you're crazy. I'll say y'all crazy, but Jesus is going to heal him today. Right. Amen. There it is. And he did. How many been encouraged by this word today? Woo, see, listen. God's word, our power. Amen? Amen. Father, help us. Help us to recognize you have not left us like orphans. We're not powerless. We're not hopeless. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Help us to be a church that won't just talk about, I'm going to pray for you, but that we'll grab people by the hand and just say, God, and just a powerful short prayer. But Father, we will see the supernatural take place. I pray that you are raising up a people to be used by you mightily. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.